Welcome to the Principled Podcast, brought to you by LRN. The Principled Podcast brings together the collective wisdom on ethics, business and compliance, transformative stories of leadership, and inspiring workplace culture. Listen in to discover valuable strategies from our community of business leaders and workplace changemakers.
Hello and welcome to another episode of LRN's Principled Podcast. This is our third season of producing the podcast, and we're very excited to have with us today Paige Motes, Strategy Leader of Sustainability at Dell Technologies. Hi, Paige. How are you?
Hi, Ben. Nice to speak with you today. I'm doing well.
I appreciate your time today. For folks who don't know, Paige was at one point an LRN employee, and she can talk a little bit about her beginnings here as well. But take our listeners through your career path. What led you into ethics and compliance, and how that has taken you into this new role as a strategy leader of sustainability at Dell?
Actually, my entry into the ethics and compliance space happened with LRN. So I had decided that I was going to do a little bit of a shift in what was a long sales career, and had a headhunter really explore some interesting new approaches to a sales career, and LRN popped up on the radar. And after one interview with LRN, I was hooked. So I came to work at LRN in ethics and compliance, both in a sales and an account manager role. And how I became an in-house ethics and compliance specialist is that one of my former clients ended up working at Dell. And in 2009, contacted me and said, hey, why don't you come and try to do what you've been telling customers they should do? And I thought that would be not only an interesting and fun transition in my career, but I thought incorrectly that that would be much easier to do than it was. But I have had really enjoyed a good 10 years with ethics and compliance at Dell, primarily focusing on the areas of ethics, culture, operational resiliency, as well as digital transformation in the ethics and compliance space, which was my most recent work. But in that particular role, I touched the corporate social responsibility team in a variety of ways. I worked very closely with our supply chain sustainability team on a partnership that Dell was actually a founding member of called the Responsible Business Alliance, in which they take a close look at the supply chain and ensure that there are ethical practices, among other things. So I was deeply involved with supply chain, making sure that our Dell-owned factories, as well as a variety of suppliers, tier one and down, were adhering to those principles. I also would work very closely with the sustainability team when it came to any regulatory or compliance focus areas, because I ran a global compliance forum in which a key risk owner of all of the compliance pieces within Dell would come together on a monthly basis. And so I started to learn about their world, but really became very interested about a year ago when they launched a program called CSR Ambassadors. So they really wanted to teach non-CSR specialty individuals more about social impact and the environmental, social governance pieces of the CSR world. And I volunteered to be an ambassador. So they trained me up. I got to speak to customers and media and analysts about our social impact agenda, which at the time did not necessarily overtly include ethics and compliance, but since then has started to wrap in the ethics, compliance, and privacy piece. So when a job opportunity became available, I jumped on it because my interest was continuing to grow, and I thought it would be a wonderful extension and advancement of my career and doing something really exciting and new, but still staying close to those key critical items that keep anybody in the ethics and compliance space rooted in that type of work, which is helping ensure that a company is doing the right thing and making a real impact in the world.
So you've talked a little bit about your new position. How does your ENC background then help you in this new role, especially as ENC, investor activism, and ESG are coming together to push companies?
Yeah, I definitely think that my ethics and compliance world helped prepare me. In fact, I have coached many an ethics and compliance person at Dell and outside of Dell that CSR, ESG is a natural place to go. It is a sister function in my mind, ethics and compliance, diversity and inclusion, corporate social responsibility, all three of those items really are three legs of the same stool. Without one of them doing well, the other two can't hold it up very well. And so what I learned in ethics and compliance that really helped bring all of that together is that ethics and compliance understands both the kind of regulatory space, what do we have to do? And there are a lot of compliance-focused elements in sustainability. There's product regulatory items where we have to make sure that certain materials are not within our products or only at certain levels or lower, as just one example. Or in the human rights space within the supply chain, there's rules and regulations. But there's also that piece in ethics and compliance where you do not have a rule. It's just the right thing to do. And so kind of the what should you do versus what can you do mentality certainly plays very well in the sustainability space, where a lot of people are thinking about what a company should be doing in that space. Where should a company like Dell be leading? Where should we be locking arms with other like-minded companies? Why should we wait for regulations to push us in that direction? So a lot of similarities. And I just think there's amount of rigor and amount of grit that you have to have as an ethics and compliance professional to keep knocking on doors, keep busting down obstacles in order to be heard and in order to really advance the right agenda for the company. And sustainability definitely appreciates and understands those skill sets and those competencies.
Are you finding it easy to build those relationships with other business units about these issues, or are you finding people still being a little territorial, and how is that relationship kind of manifesting?
I think it's natural, especially in a company like Dell, where you've got specific aspects of the business that design products, others that manufacture products, you know, others that market those products, as just three examples. There can be silos, but I feel very lucky that Dell is a very cross-collaborative company. And so it makes that job easier than it might be at other companies. I don't know. So I do feel like it's an easier engagement with those business units. Really, the hardest part is just having enough resources to go do that on the scale that you need to do it. Sustainability is really growing as a space, but companies typically don't have hundreds of individuals out doing that work, right? And you have to do a lot of a partnership model where there are people looking at strategy, there are people looking at what the right programs and processes are, and there are other people executing. And sometimes they're in corporate, and sometimes they're in the business units. So relationship building is easy. It's just kind of having enough time in the day and enough scale to go out and do that as quickly as we want to do it.
What are two or three issues you're working on now in your new role in sustainability that are taking a lot of your time and focus?
So a couple of things. We are really focused on innovation. And what I mean by that is we have wonderfully innovative people in the company, but sometimes it's a passionate gal or guy that happens to have extra budget that particular quarter or year, and they're off looking at feasibility studies or maybe creating a small proof of concept pilot. But it's done over in a corner and it's not known about broadly. So one of the critical focus areas for me is to stand up something called an innovation incubator. And it really follows kind of a typical way in which Dell or any company creates something, right? Goes from concept phase to defining it, to planning for it, to piloting it. And then ideally, if you're successful, scaling it. So I'm standing this up so that instead of people having to be scraping together money or scraping together people in order to advance an innovative idea that has sustainability benefit, they can actually submit their ideas through the innovation incubator. And a committee will review it both quantitatively and qualitatively to see what kind of impact, feasibility, and capability it might bring to the company. And if it is chosen to continue through the path, then the corporate social responsibility team or the sustainability team may give it a cash infusion to kick it off and help get it on its way. And then we would report out to a body that we have that's a governance body for sustainability for the company to be able to report out its success. And if they agree, then there's more cross-functional agreement to scale that idea. And given that companies like Dell have big, typically audacious goals on how they're going to have sustainability impact in the world, you often can't do that thinking about things the old way. And so we really want to find ways to kickstart these innovation ideas. So that's one thing we're focusing on. Another thing that we're focusing on is, you know, what kinds of partnerships and groups can we form or connect to really lift all boats and really accelerate what we're doing. So we've actually formed a partnership with an organization called Lonely Whale, who has had a real interest in cleaning up the world's oceans. But we founded what is now known as Next Wave, where our goal is to be able to divert plastic from even entering the ocean in the first place through streets or landfills that are typically found in many kind of emerging countries, and be able to repurpose that content to be used in products. So Dell and a number of other companies have joined up and locked arms together to try to make an impact there. So that's really exciting. So kind of advancing that agenda as well as other like organizations that we can connect into. And then finally, you know, really just focusing very heavily in achieving these very high-end and 10-year in nature goals to really impact the world in a very significant way, whether it has to do with renewable energy or it has to do with using recyclable materials in our products is just two examples. That takes a lot of work and planning now in order to make impact in 2, 3, 5, 10 years. And I'll say we're lucky because we are a technology company that our ability to leverage technology to help drive a lot of that is a real benefit. And so just as Dell tries to help other companies digitally transform, we're trying to, you know, eat our own dog food or drink our own champagne, as it should be said, and use some of that same technology to help us in this space.
How does your use of training and communications differ in your new role from how you used those in your previous role? Are you having to find a new way to win over hearts and minds?
In some ways, it's easier in this new role, and I know that sounds odd, but in the old role, training and communications were built in, but often because they were a requirement. And that's great that Dell has been able to have this required training program. We literally get 100% of all of our employees to complete every year. It's so ingrained in the culture that that's not difficult, but it still is often thought of as something people have to do, even though their attitude is positive about that. It's different in the sustainability side of the house, where we don't have to do anything from a training and communication standpoint. But it is even more interesting over here because we are being pulled to do it, because there is such a connection to our sales organization and our marketing organization and our customers. So our customers are asking for information. They are seeing this as differentiating in their decision making. And so we have to do a really good job of educating and promoting within our employee base, and especially those that touch customers, what that means. What are the pieces that Dell is putting priority on? How does that play out in what we sell and what we service and the solutions that we offer? So there's kind of a greater connection to the broader sales and marketing engine over here, because so much of it is tied to the work that they do. But I don't have the stick I used to have. It's all carrot now. So it is not hard to capture hearts and minds, because if we just think about any brand that we care about personally, and we think about the things that really differentiate that brand for us, more and more you're finding that it is people that connect to the values, right? It's organizations that you feel like you trust and you connect to their values. And more we're finding that that sustainability piece is becoming more and more a differentiator in our own buying. You can imagine our Dell customers feel the same. So I have a very close tie-in with marketing and with communications, but not as much of a tie-in on training myself. It's really more of the sales enablement organizations that leverage our communication information and plug into their training. It's not so much us executing training. We are executing a lot on the communications piece internally and externally.
Dell's also been at the forefront of digital transformation for the last 3 decades or so. What do you see now as one or two biggest drivers in this area that organizations need to prepare for? And how will these drivers impact E&C and sustainability teams and how they work?
Yeah, so digital transformation is definitely right up my alley, because that was a big part of the last role I had in ethics and compliance. And I feel like ethics and compliance professionals need to fully embrace and adopt digital transformation to help them achieve their goals. So this is a place that's near and dear to my heart. But Dell specifically has seen a lot of drivers in digital transformation around security. So companies or organizations trying to use digital to really help better secure their organization or the information that they touch. Another big one is the workforce transformation, as we're going to often workforces that are digging more into the gig economy. Flexible work, remote work, digital tools are often big pieces to enable that. Self-service capability is another example of that. And then finally, just companies in general that are traditionally not organizations that you would identify as digital are literally digifying. And Dell has had a big hand in help driving that. So it is, as an example, car companies are tech companies now. And so we have a big hand in that. I would say from the ethics and compliance side, when you think about digital transformation, a place that Dell is playing, and certainly the new team is taking it to the next level. I was just there for the beginning stages. But that is going to be heavily evolving into what used to be manually done or manually calculated by an employee in the ethics and compliance space. You know, you're putting bots in. You're putting in self-service systems that can pull back information. That is going to heavily help for things like inquiries, routine asks and questions, or I just can't find that policy or that information. A lot of that is routine behaviors that digital tools can really affect change. Another big part is predictive behavior. When you think about these kind of transforming the digital workforce, when you think about, you know, newer people kind of coming in and out of the workforce in varying degrees, their risk profile changes. And so one way in which digital tools could be leveraged is to better monitor activities, maybe not at the individual person level, but the demographic level. So salespeople versus marketing people versus, you know, engineers, and being able to try to identify where a potential violation could occur, or the activities, if they continue in that vein, could end up crossing a line and stopping it before it gets there. So digital is going to really be having a predictive way in which risk can be managed. And then finally, being able to take that data and being able to turn it around to just-in-time information, just-in-time learning, where LRN can really play, I think, a very heavy role. And that is, how does that just-in-time data allow training to be fired off at a moment's notice versus a pre-advanced planned campaign? So lots of great ways, I think, in which ethics and compliance can leverage digital, and sustainability would have a similar perspective, although I think the business itself may use some of those to execute on sustainability areas versus just corporate sustainability using them. But we'll see.
So we've talked a little bit about your new role and how this all meshes with ENC, ESG, activism coming together, the use of training and communications to communicate the messages you need to tell, and how you've been at the forefront. Let's end here. As a woman in business with an established and successful career, what advice do you have for young people, particularly women entering this ENC profession? And what do you wish someone had told you when you started that you didn't learn until later, maybe after a tough lesson?
Well, I have to say, I cannot give this as a blanket statement for all women, but I have been incredibly grateful for the fact that I have not, in my career, experienced a lot of situations where I felt like I was a woman attempting to work in a man's world. Thank goodness that I have been fortunate enough to work with companies that were very progressive, including LRN, that really, you know, had women in leadership and women in really important positions and gave me a ton of opportunities. So I would say, from my own personal perspective as a woman in the ethics and compliance and sustainability profession, a piece of advice for folks entering the profession is, women have, I think, some skill sets that need to be really harnessed and really maximized. And the more that women in individual contributor positions or leadership positions in ethics and compliance, you know, we have really good intuition. And I'm trying not to be stereotypical, but I do find that in this ethics and compliance space, our natural way of having empathy and intuition can really play into helping advance your career in that space. That is a big part of what happens in the ethics world and compliance world. And I think understanding that strength, nurturing that strength, and using it to your advantage is a really good idea. I would say if we're feeling in any capacity that we're not seeing the amount of diversity that we want to see, I say step up and talk about it. Because if you can't talk about it in the ethics and compliance space, where can you, right? And the things that I think what I wish I knew going in, I think I wish I knew going in that there is sometimes a feeling that if you don't have a law degree in the ethics and compliance space, that you can't do some of the same things that the attorneys can do. And I know there are certain places where absolutely you need that law degree and you need to have passed the bar in order to give legal advice and act as a legal counsel. Totally agree with that. But I would say don't let any aspect of a non-law degree, ethics and compliance, professional career path stop you. I am living proof. I do not have a law degree. I came up through sales, but I've been given amazing opportunities. I have been able to do some really great things. And I think primarily it's because people are wanting to engage with folks that have a point of view, can back up that point of view and come to work with creative innovative solutions and be willing to roll up their sleeves and get the job done. And I think that if that is something that I could just convey, that I've had a couple of tough lessons in my career where I could have done even more had I just stepped out of my comfort zone and said, but I do have a point of view on that. I think that would have been rewarded even more. So I just encourage everybody to think about that, especially women in the ENC profession. I think we've got a lot of great insights and value to add and to not be afraid to do that.
Well, I really appreciate you taking some time today. And I love those insights and that advice as we move on. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll connect with you soon.
Thanks, Ben.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Principled Podcast is brought to you by LRN. At LRN, our mission is to inspire principled performance in global organizations by helping them foster winning, ethical cultures rooted in sustainable values. Please visit us at LRN.com to learn more. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to leave us a review.